Okay, so we are moving right along with The Gospel is the Power, and we are on Unit 5, Power Against the Powers, and we're finally up to Point E, the Power's Objective. And so we've talked about who the powers are, when they came into being, how God appointed them, how God remains sovereign over them, and how Jesus triumphed over the powers, and that we also enter into that victory through our faith in Jesus. But nevertheless, the powers are still at work in the world until the new heaven and the new earth are put in place after the day of judgment. So God is patiently waiting for those who are going to repent before he brings judgment on the whole world and brings in the new heavens and the new earth, when all of these other powers that are still at work will be judged and done away with. But until that day comes, the powers are still at work in the world. And we have to live by faith, standing against the objective of the powers, because they are against us. And Jesus gives us power to do that. So let's take a look at the power's objective. What are they trying to do? So we talked about Satan and his rebellion. He is the adversary of God. He has an agenda. It is naive of us to think that Satan doesn't have an agenda, or that he is just casually going about his, you know, adversary of God type of thing. You know, like, no, he is a serious contender. Why? His objective is to slander God and ultimately usurp God's throne and incite global rebellion against God so that he can have all the worship for himself. And he is trying to do that on the national level, on the global level, on the tribal level, on the individual level. He is working with his delegates, with his demonic delegates, and the various principalities and spiritual forces of wickedness to incite the whole world in rebellion against God, because he is the one that wants to rule the world. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but we have to understand that this is what his objective is. We've got to know. We can't be unaware of the enemy's schemes. That's the biblical way of saying it. Hallelujah. So the adversary's objective is to deceive all people away from God. Yes, he has an objective for a hostile takeover of the world. He doesn't want people worshiping God. He wants people subjected to him. Another one of his aims is to destroy human unity by inciting division through wickedness, through violence, through destruction. He wants war and murder and death. He wants destruction. He wants chaos. He wants to destroy God's order. He wants to defame God's name, because God created it all. So he is trying to get it so that it doesn't look like anything that God created. He's trying to get it back into a state of darkness and chaos and disorder, because that's where he's hoping to set up his reign over the whole world. When it is dark and chaotic and disorderly, that makes it a perfect opportunity for him to be in charge of the whole thing. And he delights in darkness and chaos and disorder. That is his thing. That's his big party. He delights to see people destroying themselves and one another. So how does he go about working this in the lives of human beings? Satan's objective against unbelievers is to prevent them from attaining revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ. So this is done by feeding into their own self-absorption, their pride, their arrogance, their self-sufficiency, their self-exaltation, their hatred towards other people, their isolation against other people. He's trying to incite any kind of rebellion, wickedness, evil against God, anything that is against God, to harden their heart against God. So in Genesis 6, we see this is before the flood. At that point, the evil one and his nature had so filled the world with corruption and wickedness. God saw that every intention and thought of the heart of man was evil continually, selfish all the time, always looking out for me, me, me. How am I going to get mine? Who do I have to crush in order to elevate myself? That is the intent of the wicked human heart. But the evil one also blinds the minds of unbelievers and deafens the ears to understanding the gospel. So Jesus, in the parable of the soils, he talks about it this way: the seed of the kingdom is sown. So the sower is the word of God, right? The sower goes out and sows seed into all these various soils. But the evil one, Satan, the evil one, comes and snatches away the seed that has been sown into the heart of an unbeliever. This was seed that was sown along the path. But Jesus explains that, you know, this is the parable where the birds come and eat it off of the path, but he explains that it's the evil one. So someone can hear the gospel, but as soon as they hear the gospel, Satan or one of his delegates is right there immediately afterwards trying to convince them that Jesus is not Lord, that Jesus did not die, that Jesus is not who he says he is. It's trying to snatch that seed out of the soil so that it never takes root and produces good fruit for God. So this is one of the ways that Satan works out his objectives, by preventing people from coming to faith in Jesus Christ, so that without faith, the Holy Spirit can't come into their life. Without the Holy Spirit in their life, they're incapable of obeying God. And so Satan tries to catch it, like nip it in the bud before it has any time to bear any fruit. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about it this way: even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world — who's the God of this world? Lowercase g — the God of this world is Satan. It's the evil one. It's the adversary of God. Why? We said this already. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them, to prevent them from seeing the light of the gospel and of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. So Satan works hard to keep unbelievers as unbelievers, and he has various ways that he does that. But that is the objective of the evil one in the life of an unbeliever. And when we come back, we'll look at how he works in the life of believers. Okay, so against believers, the evil one, the adversary of God, he has to use different tactics, because we already believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We already have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We've already heard about the finished work of the cross. And so the objective of the powers, who are the delegates of Satan, the evil one, the evil of the powers, their objective is to try to draw us away from the finished work of Christ, down from the third heaven, away from that Jesus fulfilled the law for us into religion. They're trying to take us out of what Jesus accomplished for us. So Jesus said, "It is finished." We are already seated in the third heaven when we are in him and believing in him. And the objective of the powers against believers is to knock us out of the place of victory. So let's take a look at some more specifics. So number one, the objective of the powers is to draw us down from the third heaven into the second heaven, or even worse, to the earth and to the flesh in the levels of our focus and functionality. So our faith for believing to receive the benefits of the gospel is that we are in the third heaven and that Jesus finished it for us. The ultimate objective of the powers, wherever other type of deception and tactic they might use, ultimately what they're trying to get us to do is renounce our faith in Jesus, to focus on things of this world, to focus on things of the second heaven, to go back to worshiping the sun, moon, and stars, to go back to worshiping the false gods of this world, to ultimately reject Jesus and lose our eternal salvation that we only have through faith in him. That is the ultimate objective of the powers against the life of a believer. So another power, we learned that there's a power of sin. We are in slavery and bondage to sin. So the power of sin tries to take us down to the lowest levels of depraved and ungodly conduct. So we talked about this. If you are still behaving behaving in sin, you are demonstrating that you are a son of disobedience. And if you're doing your disobedience in the name of God, then you are defaming and dishonoring the name of God. And the adversary of God, he just loves that. He's like, yeah, that's great. Do some more disobedience in the name of God. Hey, can we get a little more false teachers around here? Let's get some people to work iniquity and tell them that it's all in Jesus' name. The power of sin tries to draw us into rebellion against God, even though we have the Holy Spirit and should be submitting ourselves not to obey sin, but to obey the Holy Spirit. So the powers of this world and the powers of this current age, they try to draw us down to the lower levels of our circumstances, maybe the cultural expectations of what success is or what success is not, you know, focusing on money, 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 or assets or resources, or even things of the flesh that our flesh desires. We've talked about some of these things in some of the other segments, but, you know, through distraction or situations, you know, we can seek for the solution to our problems rather than seeking the solution in the third heaven and the finished work of Jesus. What did we say? I forget what unit it was, but the gospel is the power for salvation, healing, deliverance, sustenance. Everything you will ever need from now until Jesus returns and thereafter is all bound up in the gospel, the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power. It is the solution. Jesus is the solution for every problem you will ever have. You've just got to get connected to him and look to him for the solution to your problem. But then what happens is we have a problem in this world and we start using human solutions. No matter how brilliant we might think that they are, if God didn't author the solution, you have been knocked out of your place of victory. You are not in the heavenly level. You are in the earthly level. And you might think you're a rock star, but you're not doing it God's way. So that even goes with seeking remedies for sickness. You know, people use lots of excuses for why they're going to seek this thing or that thing for their ailment. But you know what? We're supposed to be seeking those things in the finished work of Jesus. Jesus Christ died on a cross 2,000 years ago so that you can be saved, healed, and delivered. But if we have a problem and we're experiencing discomfort in the earth, whether it's sickness or whether it's some other kind of problem, we go about coming up with our own solutions rather than looking to Jesus. That means that the powers are influencing us. The powers are winning in our life if we're looking to other solutions rather than looking to Jesus. Okay, so another way that the powers will influence us or knock us out of our place of victory is if we get involved with laborious sweat and toil. You know, you can say, well, I've got to work for a living, but you know what? If you are a slave rather than trusting God to provide, when my God gives wealth, he adds no sorrow to it. Now, I'm not saying people have to work with their own hands and aspire to live a quiet life. I'm not saying that you just drop what you're doing, but even your vocation, even your job can be blessed by God. God can lead you into a vocation where you work for a living and you receive a paycheck, but you know that that is provision from God because God has directed you into it. Okay? But you're not a slave to your work and you're not submitted to a taskmaster or a slave driver with laborious sweat and toil and thorns and thistles that God did not author. If you're in a situation like that, get out and let God lead you into a situation that is healthy for you and that is ordained by God for you. God is a loving father. Here's the deal. You start working for God, he's going to provide all that you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He will add to you everything that you need. But what the powers want to do is they want to make us selfishly ambitious or self-sufficient, where we don't find our sufficiency in Jesus, but we find our sufficiency through our own means. We come up with our own solutions to our problems rather than looking to Jesus. If they've succeeded in that, they've succeeded in knocking us out of the third heaven and all the way down to the earthly and human-made levels. That's not where we want to be. The powers can also be clever in ways of influencing us into types of ministry service or labors for the Lord, which are not initiated by the Holy Spirit. The same thing I just said about a job, a regular job. If it's not ordained by God, then you're in a different realm. You're not doing it God's way. Unfortunately, the same thing can be done in ministry service. And this is where the powers can be very, very subtle, but they are still deceptive. You know, sometimes the worst thing that can happen is that a minister becomes busy thinking that they're doing service for the Lord when really they're doing a service that God did not call them to. You know, it's nice to feel needed by people. It's nice to be able to sit around and teach people the Bible. But if you're doing it in a way or for people that God did not ordain for you, then you are functioning on your own knowledge. You are not, if it was not initiated by the Holy Spirit, then you authored it. God did not author it. And do you know why you authored it? Because the powers of this world have power over you, and they have influenced you to obey them or your own arrogance rather than obeying the Holy Spirit and submitting yourself to God and God alone. Hallelujah. So the powers also try to draw us, if you're a different flavor, they try to draw you back under the law. The book of Galatians is written all about this. The powers are trying to get you out of the new covenant, which is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and back into the old covenant, which is back into the law. And they're trying to draw you away from grace and down into legalism or religious requirements for earning God's favor, rather than just believing by faith in Jesus Christ and receiving the benefits of that faith and the benefits of righteousness as a free gift through faith in Jesus. So this is where the law or these deceptions will come along and say, well, you have to do this in order to get blessed, or you have to not do this in order to get blessed. Well, you're back down to your own obedience rather than focused entirely on Jesus' obedience. So again, Galatians, the book of Galatians is all about this. Paul says in Galatians 3, you know, you started off in the spirit, but now you're trying to finish in the flesh. And that means by your own works, you're trying to obey the law to show that you're righteous before God. That's not how this works. It is by faith from start to finish. When this happens, we forget that Jesus said it is finished. Jesus finished it. Jesus triumphed. He didn't add any requirements. His command was, the only work that God wants of you is to believe in the one that he sent. And his command was, the command of Jesus was, love one another as I have loved you. And even the apostles, when they got together and there was a lot of confusion about whether Gentiles needed to be circumcised or not, because that would be evidence that they were in the covenant with God, they decided they only added 3 rules onto the new covenant, and they weren't even rules. They were more like guidelines for Gentiles who wanted to behave in a godly manner. So if you're a part of a religion or a group that says, yep, it's finished, but we also have to do whatever that might be, that is false. Jesus didn't add any requirements. It is by faith. It is entirely by faith. It is completely by faith. It is by faith and faith alone. Nothing else. Anything else besides that, and you are down onto your own record, and you are obligated to keep the whole law, which no one has ever been able to do. It is by faith. So simply, if you're in one of those groups or denominations or whatever, just repent. Repent and do away with the books that they have sold you or told you about of all of the other things that you have to do. What Jesus requires, what God requires for salvation and for all of the benefits and blessings that he has made available to us is simple faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone. That's it. Just believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And the last thing, the powers try to draw us down from the third heaven down into the second heaven to do spiritual warfare. Now, I know we talked about that the second heaven is where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. I'm not talking about becoming an astronaut. I'm talking about the spiritual forces that are in the second heaven that are doing battle as the host. This is where those angels, the rulers over the principalities and the dominions, were arguing and fighting and having battles in the spirit realm. But what happens is, especially when people start getting into these funky prayer techniques and different things, they leave the third heaven to go down into the second heaven, and they convince themselves that they're quote unquote doing spiritual warfare. But you know what? My Jesus, he finished all the warfare. He triumphed in the war already. I don't need to leave the place of being seated in the third heaven in order to feel impressive and do a lot of spiritual exercises, making it look like I'm fighting demons or principalities, or even, I don't mean to mock or jest, because these people who get themselves into these things, there are real spiritual forces that they will contend against. But the point, what I'm trying to say is that in Jesus, you don't have to do that. Jesus already did that. The only thing you need to say to those powers is no. That's it. You just don't submit yourself to them. But you're not supposed to be engaging with them. If you're doing that, you have allowed yourself to be knocked out of the third heaven to go down to the second heaven. And I know it feels like you're doing these fancy prayer things, but just please stop. Just please stop. You're exhausting yourself fighting against spiritual powers that they can wear you out. Prayer is as simple as calling out to the Father, and immediately you are in the third heaven. The battle has already been won, and you just need some direction from God on how he wants you to solve the problem or the situation. So that's, we've taken a look at how God works in the life of, how the powers work against unbelievers in the lives of unbelievers and against believers in the lives of believers. So for unbelievers, the evil one is trying to keep them from coming to know Jesus at all. And for believers, the evil one is trying to knock them out of their position of victory down to lower levels of finding solutions or lower levels of activity or focus, because ultimately the powers are trying to incite rebellion against God, leading to chaos and disorder and darkness, all of the things that we've been redeemed from. So today, if you're a believer, which most of you listening to this probably are believers, if you are a believer today, make sure that you go through your day knowing that you have been set free. You have power against the powers. And in all of these different areas, if you have been leaning on your own solutions, if you have been subject to the power of sin, if you have been judging yourself by the standard or cultural expectations of this world, if you have been looking to natural remedies or solutions that are of this world or that are made by man, if you have been engaging in second heaven warfare, wearing yourself out with that, or if you have become legalistic and religious, just please repent. Just stop. That's all it is. Just repent and believe that Jesus triumphed over the powers, that Jesus said that it is finished. So today, believe that it is finished.